Hello, and welcome to another Meta Media Group production of On Purpose Magazine, featuring interesting, inspiring, educational, and entertaining stories, discussions, and interviews of purpose, with purpose, on purpose.
Hello, everybody. This is J.W. Najarian with On Purpose Magazine, and today we have us the wonderful, infamous, the famous Greg S. Reed. How you doing, Greg?
I am always good. You're right. More infamous than famous by far.
You know, I'm so happy to have you on today, Greg. You know, as we talked earlier, I interview a lot of people. You're an interviewer. That's how you got started. I think that's how you get started. We'll talk about that. But you're one of the guys I haven't talked to yet, and we just haven't hooked up. And so I'm really great. It's really great to have you here today. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it looks like birds of a feather flock together by far. And we definitely hang out with the same sort of people. So talk to me. What are we going to chat about today?
Well, you know, I just kind of wanted to get into who's Greg Reed and, you know, kind of what you're doing, catch up on what you're doing. I understand you got a new book coming out, Stickability. I wanted to get into that. And also, since you're a best-selling author, I have so many authors listening to me, I did want to talk to you a little bit about publishing industry and what you do there. So.
Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent. Yeah, the new book coming out, I'm so blessed, quite frankly, JW, for this one. It's called Think and Grow Rich, Stickability. And it's all about the power of perseverance. You know, so many people seem to give up on their dreams when they're so close to the finish line. And when Sharon Lecter and I did the last book called 3 Feet from Gold, it was a great success, but people kept saying, you know, that's a great story, but how do you not quit? I mean, what are the actionable steps to not quit?
Right.
And that's why we created this new project coming out.
Well, yeah, let's talk about a little bit about who Greg is. First of all, you're an author. You've written Napoleon Hill's Road to Riches, 3 Feet from Gold, as you mentioned, Millionaire, Mentor, Positive Impact, Think and Grow Rich, and now Stickability. I think you have a lot more books out there that I haven't mentioned. Let me start with Napoleon Hill Foundation, because people go, he didn't write Think and Grow Rich. I thought it was Napoleon Hill. So tell me about your latest work with Napoleon Hill Foundation and how that all works.
Well, for those who don't know who I am, which is pretty much everyone tuning in today, like I said, I'm more infamous than famous. In 1908, Napoleon Hill was given a letter by the richest man of the world, Andrew Carnegie, and set him on a mission to meet the most powerful and influential people of our time. And from there wrote the 20th best-selling book in history called Think and Grow Rich. 100 years later, in 2008, the Napoleon Hill Foundation wrote a very similar letter and then gifted it to me. So I've had the opportunity to follow in these historic footsteps to help modernize and update the principles from the late, great Napoleon Hill himself.
And you got that. You started interviewing on your own. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the first interview I ever did, I mean, it's a two-minute story. You want to hear it. It was with a guy named Dave Liniger. Have you ever heard that story?
No, I haven't. Go ahead.
So Dave Liniger was my first interview from the foundation, and I went to him because he wanted to start a real estate business back in 1970. And I says, well, what was it like getting started? And he said, it was brutal. He says, all the money ran out. It was the other economic collapse. He said, for 2 years, every phone call that came in was from a bill collector. I was so embarrassed when the phone would ring, I'd run across the hall and pick up the phone so my secretary wasn't put on the spot. The third year got bad. They threw me in jail. They called me a liar and a cheat and a fraud. I says, well, what did you do? He says, I took my attitude from trying to prove the world wrong to something more admirable and prove myself right. He said, I had the courage to pick up the phone and call every bill collector and said, look, I don't got 50 grand I owe you. But I got 50 bucks. I'll send it to you today with a promise that I'm not going to quit. He says he called every bill collector every month until the fourth year. Someone finally believed in him, bought the first business, and that's what we know today as RE/MAX Real Estate Corporation.
Wow.
And he says, you know, I'm nothing. I'm just a regular guy. He goes, but how many people's lives were changed because I didn't quit? And how do we know someone listening to this interview right now, JW, isn't about to give up on their dreams? You know, because Visa's calling him on the other line.
No, that's incredible. And, you know, since I've got you here, I'm going to just hit you with the big question that I've always had. The big, you know, I've asked many people this, if you've ever listened to my interviews, and you wrote the book, and that is the 3 Feet from Gold book. And that is, when do you know when to quit? You know, you hear those guys on American Idol, they're singing. and they sound terrible. But they're the only ones that don't know they're terrible. And Randy Jackson, all those guys are telling them, sorry, man, this is not for you. And they say, I'm never going to quit. I'm going to keep singing, even though they can't sing. Or people on Shark Tank who, you know, put their house up and their kids, they throw all their kids' college fund into their idea, which everybody thinks sucks. When do you know when to quit?
Well, it comes down to following what we talked about in 3 Feet from Gold. It's called you're following your success equation. And real simple, people listening in, it's P plus T times A squared plus F equals success. And it sounds like a fancy math test, but it's really simple. And I'll use the example that you just illustrated, JW. So a lot of people on these late night infomercials say, go find your passion and the money will follow. And unfortunately, that's a complete lie because that's just not true. Because like you said, if you're passionate about something and you stink at it, you won't make it. So if you are passionate, you had the P in the equation, your passion, but you are not T, talented, chances are you won't make it. But if you are passionate plus you had the talent, you've got a shot. But if you don't do the first A, you'll fall short, which is take action. Because you could be the most passionate, God-gifted singer, but if you only sing in the shower or don't do anything with it, you're not going to be successful.
Passion is drinking pina coladas on the beach, and I'm very talented at it, but I haven't found anybody who wants to pay me for it yet.
It's only because you keep wearing that that fancy European banana hammock. You got to get out of that thing, my friend.
No kidding.
Let me just finish this so people understand. The second A is association. It's aligning with someone who's in the industry, and the F is the faith that that's your journey. So if you're passionate about singing and you are talented, you're willing to take action and pay your dues, you aligned with someone in the industry who could open doors and had the faith that's your journey, well, chances are you found your purpose. And those are the people that should not give up on their dreams.
Oh, that's a great answer. Thank you, because I've asked that a lot, and I haven't always got a really good answer. That actually makes sense. Let's go ahead and talk about Steve Wozniak. You used to hang out with Steve Wozniak from Apple.
Well, actually, I interviewed him for this new book for Stickability. I got a chance to sit down with some incredible people, and one of the stories, my takeaway from Steve Wozniak was he goes, thank God we are broke. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, back in the day, you know, Steve Jobs and him were just, you know, broke guys. They're Silicon Valley, they didn't have much going on. And what happened is that Jobs himself would come over when he dropped out of school and see whatever Wozniak was working on, and then he'd actually go take it and sell it and bring it to the marketplace. Everyone knows the story. But Wozniak said, you know, the bottom line is we could only afford one microchip when they came out, one microprocessor. Because back in the day, you know, computers were the size of the whole living room. And he goes, so Hewlett Packard would send me something and it'd have 20 different microprocessors to go from point A to point B. I'd take away 5 and see if I could get it to work. I'd take away another 5, see if I can get it to work. Till finally I could just get it to go from point A to my one microprocessor to point B. And he goes, I figured out a solution to do that. He goes, I wasn't trying to be fancy or cool or make things smaller. He goes, I could just afford one. He goes, if I could afford more, he goes, I would have built computers the size of skyscrapers. He goes, but thank God I was broke. And sometimes we got to sit there and actually embrace our circumstances, what we are, and sometimes just make the most of it.
Well, that's cool. Let me ask you, because, you know, you're a famous author, best-selling author many times over, a keynote speaker, award-winning filmmaker for your films 3 Feet from Gold and Pass It On. I'm guessing you did that with Sharon Lecter because she does a Pass It On program. And you're a successful publisher. I'm guessing that you use a Stickability, keep going no matter what, theme on yourself. Let me ask you, Stickability, why a new book on this theme? What did you leave out? What did you need to say? What did we need to know that you hadn't told us before?
I wanted to go deeper. And by the way, Sharon and I actually met after I did the Pass It On project. It was just coincidental that we had the same philosophies. And I got to tell you, she was one of the most golden, gifted, wonderful opportunities in my life to work with her. She's not only become a great, dear friend, but she's also become an amazing mentor of mine. And the answer to your question is this. When it comes down to what was left out, I'd say nothing. What we want to do is something more important and add to. because people kept asking us for more. They kept saying, that's great, I want more. So what we did is went really deep with today's generational leaders, everyone from the founder of Make-A-Wish Foundation to the guy who's started civilian space exploration, to find out how they persevered and they had that stickability so we could share it with today's world. And that's what this project's all about.
Well, that's awesome. And the book, is it in pre-release? Is it out? What's going on with the book?
No, it won't even be out, quite frankly, until this fall. I believe it'll be in October. And should be going live on Amazon for pre-sales within the next month or so. We're just so excited about it. The buzz is going all over the world already. We're already getting, interest from international publishers because people believe that this will become not only just a big New York Times best-selling book, but a worldwide sensation.
That's great. Can we pre-order on Amazon, or where do we go for that?
I would say within the next month or so. But right now you can just visit me at my website. It's just bookgreg.com, bookgreg.com. Drop me an email. Say you want to be on the email list, the update, and we'll pop you on there. And thank you for asking.
Hey, no problem. You brought it up, so I'm going to go ahead and ask it. And that is the people that you were talking to in this book, Stickability. One of them, was it Gary Goldstein? You mentioned one of the guys there. Was Gary Goldstein one of those guys?
Yes, yeah. Gary Goldstein, for people that don't recognize his name, you'll definitely recognize the movies that he's produced. I'm sure you've heard of the Amazon Woman of the Avocado Jungle of Death, which is one of his non-most famous ones. However, he did other ones like Under Siege with parts 1 and 2. He did Mothman Prophecies, and everyone knows the classic Pretty Woman. And one of the greatest takeaways I got from Gary is he talked about something called a cul-de-sac moment. And I go, what's that? He goes, a cul-de-sac, as we know, when you're driving down the street, you go in and there's no exit, there's no way out. And for himself, sometimes he has these cul-de-sac moments where you either got to commit to go in and set up camp or keep driving by. And for himself, when he was faced with pitching a romantic love story about a prostitute to Disney, obviously the reception wasn't very well. And what he did is he realized that was his cul-de-sac moment, where he was willing to go in with no holes barred, close the gate behind him, and do whatever it takes to get a deal done. And to me, sometimes we got to face our own cul-de-sac moments and not run from them.
Yeah, Gary has a real famous story about when he was pitching Mothman Prophecies. He went in to producer after producer after producer, studio after studio, and everybody turned him down. He went to his last one, and he just couldn't get down. It's the last guy. He couldn't get turned down. So they actually called him back and said, "Nah, we don't want to do it." And he said, "No, I'm sorry, but you're going to." And they go, "No, see, that's not how it works, Gary. We just told you no, so we're not going to do it." And he goes, "No, you are," because he wasn't going to say no.
The wording he says is, "I respectfully pass on your pass."
That's exactly what he said. That's awesome.
Yeah, I respectfully pass on your pass. And that's called stickability.
Yeah.
And, it's so funny because how many times do we hear no in our life? And it's been estimated that a child hears no 40,000 times by the time it's age 5, and it only hears yes approximately 8,000 times. And the concept is, boy, imagine what our lives would be like if we started hearing or looking for and listening to the yeses rather than buying into all the nos.
Wow. No, that's awesome. And, and I brought all this up, and the people that you're talking to, like Gary and the other gentleman you mentioned, I'm sorry, I forget the name, but there's a bunch of them, including Sharon Lecter, that go to your secret knock. Do you want to mention that, or should we just keep that on the down low?
Well, just for people listening, I do an event. It's a private invite only, and we do it a couple times a year. It's called Secret Knock. Now, there's no email, there's no website, there's no fan page, there's no phone number. You can only come if you're invited. And what we do is we've brought in the most positive, like-minded leaders from around the world, literally, and put everyone into one place at one time. And this one coming up in spring is 100% sold out months early. But it's really, really cool. The next one's going to be in August. So those of you, again, who'd like to come play with a whole different breed, make sure you drop me an email at BookGreg today, and we can see if it makes a good fit. But some of the people presenting here, we've got the CEO of Napoleon Hill Foundation, Don Green, flying in. We got Sharon Lecter coming out. We have Laurel Langmire. We have Gary Goldstein, of course, popping in. We have the founder of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. We have, the guy who invented the credit card magnetic strip. We have the guy who brought the Dead Sea Scrolls to the world. We got Secret Millionaire from television. I mean, it's a very eclectic group, and it's a place that it's kind of like being invited to the cool kid party in school.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like the mastermind of all masterminds, is it not?
It is. And again, for those of you going, hey, that's for me, put me down, just email me at, BookGreg today. And once you do, we can sit down and have a phone conversation to see if there makes a good fit. Because the whole thing is we make it very exclusive and invite only and make sure I interview and talk to each person before they come. Because we want everyone to be there that's easy and having fun. You know, we wear flip-flops and tennis shoes. It's very relaxed. And you have access to some of the greatest minds. So we make sure that the people that attend make a good fit for everybody.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know you could actually write you and get into the thing. So that's way cool. I appreciate you talking about that.
You got it.
Let me ask you, I mentioned you were a successful publisher and also a best-selling author probably I don't know how many times over. I have a lot of authors that come and listen to my interviews. And so I always like to ask guests that are best-selling authors about their journey. And since you're also a publisher, could you tell me a bit about your publishing? Do you publish for others? Do you publish only yourself? What do you do?
Well, my wife, her name is Alan, and she's an amazing woman. And she
By the way, congratulations. I understand you just got married last year.
I did, and we have a 10-month-old baby boy. And, you know, at the beginning of the conversation, we talk about who was Greg Reed. I'd say, you know, being an author, speaker, filmmaker is wonderful, but being a loving father and a husband, I think, is probably the priority of my list right now. So that I appreciate you mentioning it. So Alan is the actual owner of Sherpa Press. She is the head honcho. She runs that whole side of the company. Wow. I'm basically just the sales representative or the dancing monkey, so to speak. So she's a big boss over there. But when it comes to publishing, there's pretty much nothing that we don't know because we paved the way so many times. So do you have a specific question you'd like to ask that I can answer?
Well, I just want to know, can other people get published by, you know, starting there, you know, there's other people who can use Sherpa, I'm guessing, and, you know, wanted to know, how does that work? Is that one of those who do you pay into that, or are you looking for submissions? How does that work?
Yeah, we have multiple ways of working together. Again, we're very selective. We're kind of like the Nordstroms of the publishing world. So what you do is you send us an email, and once you do, we sit down and have a conversation to see what makes a good fit. You know, we basically have done everything from we're working on New York Times best-selling push with a very famous author right now, all the way down to these collaborative book publishing deals where everyone chips in a little bit of dough and we write a book together. But we do not do what's called those books that you've probably seen those ones where they're anthologies where you write a chapter and you put it in. Those are
basically
glorified like calling cards or whatever. We actually write what I call real books. So what we do is we pool all of our funds, and then what happens is that we hire the very best ghostwriters, copy editors, that sit down and interview each person, each participant, and we pull your story out and write it within another story. So that way you're never being, like, braggadocious. We're telling your message through a third party, and they just turn out to be great, great successes.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Let me ask you the actual questions now. You know, I wanted to give you a little promo on your publishing there, but most of the writers I speak to, they kind of come to me and say, you know, I really thought this hard job would be writing, and then I had the book written, and so I thought the next hard thing to do would be getting published, because do I e-book it, do I self-publish, do I get a house, what do I do? And then they get the book in their hand, and they realize, I think it was Jack Canfield that said, now you're 5% down the journey trail. So marketing and promotion, how important is that, do you think?
Well, that's success or failure. That's all there is to it. I mean, okay, you can have the greatest program. You can have the greatest book. You can have the greatest service. But if you don't get out and sell it, if you don't get out and promote it, then the bottom line is it's going to fall on deaf ears. It's going to, it's like painting a Rembrandt but putting it in your attic. You know, it's wonderful, but someone has to get out and market it, and that's where all success comes from. And what happens is we got to change our attitude from sales to offering an incredible opportunity to learn from your message. You know, when I go out, I never feel like I'm selling anything. I just feel like I'm offering opportunity. You know, directly and indirectly, you just promoted my secret knock event. Technically, I guess I'm selling tickets to an event, but I'm actually offering an opportunity to meet incredible people. So am I selling or am I offering an opportunity? And when books come out, that's how I look at it. I'm giving people an opportunity to have access to, you know, some of the people that I've interviewed, but more importantly, to truly impact their life.
Wow. And do you have any if first-time authors or people that have not had success getting their books out, do you have any is it really just kind of knocking and banging down doors and making cold calls? Is that what it, trying to get on every program you can get on? Is that the way to do it, or is there a shortcut somewhere, an easier way?
Well, I'm going to be the bearer of bad news. I'll be there as no Santa Claus on this one, but I'll be realist because you asked me, so I'm going to do it. Book sales, being on TV and news interviews and doing these interviews, is very minute. It's almost nothing. The sales that are really done in this industry are called bulk sales. So one of the interviews I did was a guy who started a company called Velcro. And I said, how did you sell 5 billion people Velcro? And he says, I didn't. I just sold 5 people. I sold the head of automotive industry, head of aerospace, head of fashion. They found the application and brought it to the world. So in books, it's the same way. If we can get in front of a network marketing company where they've got a 100,000 person downline and get them to promote their book to that group, well, chances are we'll get sales. If we can go to someone who has a book club with 100 members and they choose your book, that's 100 sales. For you to go do 100 individual sales would take forever. And understand this, last year there was 968,000 books published and 99.4% sold 100 copies or less, because that's all your family and friends will buy. So the secret is to basically go to the people that can make the decisions to promote it to large groups, large associations, and that's where sales truly come from.
Well, yeah, and if you talk to Sharon Lecter, that's actually how Rich Dad Poor Dad got found by a network marketing company.
Exactly. I've talked to her once or twice. Yeah, that's how it works.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Greg, I know you're running to another meeting, and you were so gracious to let me catch you in between meetings and, you know, and bend your ear a little bit and get some great information out of you. I'd like to give my guests the last word. You know, your theme is sticking with something. For somebody out there who's about to give up on something or who has not had success with something they've been working on, what would be your last word to these people?
It would be a story. One of the greatest interviews I ever did was with the most unlikely source, Evander Holyfield, the boxing legend. And I asked him, I said, Evander, what makes you so special? And he says to me, I have a higher standard. He says, what do you mean? He goes, if you have a car and you won't tolerate it running bad or being dirty, you have a higher standard and a nicer car than your next-door neighbor. In sports, I showed up early, I left late, I invented exercises, had a higher standard, and I won more championships than anyone. He goes, where could you be outside the ring if you had a higher standard than your competition? I said, but didn't it hurt being in a fight? He says, oh, God, yeah, it hurts. He goes, but when you're in a fight, you don't focus on the pain. You don't focus on the blows. As soon as you focus on the pain, you end up on your back knocked out. He says, but that's what people do outside the ring. They focus on the gas prices and the war and the economy, and they wonder why they never become a champion in their own quest. And then he pulled me in real tight, and he says, you know what the funny thing is? When you do win the championship, he says, everyone comes to their feet, and they chant your name. They raise your hand in victory, and the guy puts a big shiny belt around your waist. And at that moment, at that second, you don't feel even one of the punches you took along the journey. But the guy in the losing locker room will feel every bruise for the rest of their life, wishing they had a higher standard. So my last words is this. You're listening to this show for a reason. You're setting your standards high. You're willing to take the action. And here's a big news flash. It's your turn. Napoleon Hill says our greatest success will always come just one step beyond our greatest setback. And if you're experiencing challenges, then that's great news. You're in good company. Keep going. Hang in there. You're just 3 feet from gold.
This is J.W. Najarian with On Purpose Magazine, and I'm speaking to Greg S. Reed. Greg, let me give me the full name of Stickability again.
It's Think and Grow Rich Stickability.
Wonderful. And you can catch Greg S. Reed at www.bookgreg.com. If you're interested in the Secret Knock, get a hold of him there. Definitely check out the book and check out all his great books. 3 Feet from Gold is a classic that you need to, and so is Think and Grow Rich. These are classics you need to have in your library. Greg, thank you. Thank you so much for giving up your time today, and that was a great interview. I really appreciate your time.
You're more than welcome. Keep smiling.
Thanks, Greg. Everybody, have a great day and a better tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to our Made in Media Group production of On Purpose Magazine. You can find On Purpose Magazine at onpurposemagazine.com. On Purpose Magazine and JW On Purpose is the property and is a trademark of Made in Media Group, and this audio is copyright 2012, and all rights are reserved.